thank you very much. I appreciate being here and listening to the good stuff that we've heard today. I like preaching after fellows that say all these wonderful things and are such good preachers, because I don't have to do very good. You've already been fed. And so I'm not interested in actually hitting a home run or anything this afternoon. I've got 30 minutes to talk to you. But I appreciate being here and thank God for the privilege. Brother Jones kind of reminds me of one of my new heroes, Rush Limbaugh. He sounded a lot like him this afternoon. I missed him. Usually I listen to him when I'm home between 12 and 3. And anybody else listen to Rush Limbaugh? Yeah, hallelujah. He's a good preacher. Wish he'd get saved. But it'd be wonderful. Now, my stuff really isn't doctrinal. I don't even know if it's spiritual, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Several years ago, I came across a little book called The Price of a Coconut, and I mentioned it a couple years ago preaching here as an illustration. Since then, I've had it reprinted as a book, and I sell these in my meetings for $3 a piece or a love offering, and usually I get good love offerings. But I want to give one to every missionary that's here today. I think I have enough. How many missionaries? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my. Some of you guys aren't missionaries, are you? How about if you're a missionary going to a foreign country? How about that? All right, I'll give one to all you guys. Will you guys hand them out for me? Keep your hand up so they can get them to you. And if you need some more, they're on the back table. So I want to give you one of those. This is one of the best little stories I ever ran across in my life, and such an encouragement to me, and perhaps it'll be one to you. And if you've already got a copy, take it and give it to somebody. This guy went back and got some off my table. I didn't ask him to. He'd be giving them to everybody. Now, I don't know if you have to know everything about everything you preach about. I heard Brother Roloff one time. He said, "I hope that my preaching never comes down to my level of living." And I kind of believe that too. I'd like to preach a little higher than I live. And I don't know everything there is to know about missions and all that kind of stuff. I'm interested in it. I always have been. But you know, my wife and I—we've had three babies, three boys. And every one of them was delivered by the same man, a fellow by the name of Drollett in Lansing, Michigan. And he didn't, I don't think our doctor had ever had a baby, but he knew how to deliver babies. So I don't know everything there is to know about all this stuff, but I want to just give you what I feel like the Lord had me talk to you about this afternoon, and that'll be my time well spent, I trust. I heard a story about a schoolmaster in Germany several hundred years ago, that every day when he would come to his grade school class, he would bow to his students. And the other teachers in the institution became a little disillusioned with his habit of bowing every morning to his class. So they went to the principal and called him on the carpet, and he was in the office with them. They made this strong accusation against him. Why do you bow every morning to your class? We don't think it's necessary. We don't do it. And he made this statement. He said, "In my class, there may be a great scholar, and I bow to him." And over the course of that man's lifetime, Martin Luther was one of his students. And so in the outset of my allotted time this afternoon, and I do this sincerely, I bow to you men and your wives and your children that will be going to a foreign field and carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. I respect you. I honor you. And I think you're the heroes of our day. I think we're sending the best, and we need to send the best. I want you to look in your book today if you would, to the 8th chapter of the book of Mark. And a very familiar portion of Scripture. I want to discuss it just thumbnail. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. "And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the Gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and of My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels." Father in heaven, I'm thankful for this opportunity to speak to these men and women of God. Now I pray that You'd use me to be an encouragement and a help. I'm thankful for the good things that I've been able to hear today. It's all been a blessing. It's all been instructing. It's all been helpful to me as a preacher, as a son, as a father, as a husband, as a man. I pray You'd help me to help my brethren and my sisters this afternoon for Jesus' sake. Amen. There's a young graduate preparing to leave this country to go to the foreign field, and he was accosted one day and asked by a very sarcastic professor concerning his aspirations. And he said, "I suppose, young man, you're going to China to convert the heathen." And the young man said, "Oh no, sir. I'm going to China to glorify my Savior." And I pray that would be your plan this afternoon. I want to talk to you for just a moment on ministerial mathematics, or maybe missionary mathematics. Like one of the brethren's already talked about, we are very good at division. We are adept at division. We are interested, I think, in multiplication, but we are experiencing some difficulty in our day of growing like I think God would have us to grow. And I want to talk to you from just two little phrases in verse number 34. I want to talk to you about subtraction and addition. He said, Jesus is talking, He said, "Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself." That's subtraction. Let him deny himself. And I think if you be honest with yourselves, you're denying yourself of home. Subtracting yourself from home. I don't know any more comforting four-letter word in all of our vocabulary than that word, home. I enjoy being home if I'm doing nothing. Just sitting and looking at the four walls of that domicile in which my loved ones and I reside, looking out the window, just being with and in my home. We are subtracting ourselves as missionaries from home, from comfort. All the brethren have talked about it. The things that I've heard today, some of the stories, if my soul, they make you almost cringe. Subtracting ourselves from comfort. I doubt if you go anywhere in the world that you'll ever be in a more comfortable building as far as temperature regulated than you're in right now. I doubt if they have air conditioning in most of the Baptist churches in Mexico or Haiti or these other places. They don't even have it in Michigan much. Of course, you don't need it up there either half the time or three-fourths of the time. It's cold. We must subtract ourselves from comforts, even from America. I don't know how you feel about it, but I love America. With all of her sickness and all of her sin and all of the debauchery and wickedness, even that we've heard about today from our brother. But I love America! But in order to do perhaps the will of God, let him deny himself of his country, of his friend. Subtract my friend. I sat in the hotel room this morning from the time that I got up, about 7 o'clock, maybe 6:30, until 11:30, waiting for a friend of mine to come by who said he was coming by. He never showed up. I guess I had to subtract him from my friendship today. But I sat and waited, honestly, in anticipation of seeing a friend. A man or a woman, missionary couple, leave the shores of this land, you leave behind your friends. You don't have very many. Let him deny himself of his friends. What did you do, Tim, while you sat there in the hotel room? Well, I went and got the USA Today after I'd read my Bible. Thank God I was in Psalms. It didn't take me long. I told you I wasn't sure it'd even be spiritual. I told you that. But I read the sports page first. Let him deny himself sports. I don't know if I could go to the mission field or not. I couldn't go hunting in November anymore. Let him deny. You say, well, that's a foolish thing. I know people who have missed the will of God for less important things than that. Pleasure. Pleasure. Let him deny himself. Subtract. Pleasure. Now to talk to us preachers who have been in the States a while. The ladder. I have to get off the ladder of success. Well, I'm not even interested in that. See, when we're not even interested in that, we're going up that ladder. We're climbing the ladder of no success, and then we gather around us others who think like we are, and then we ride up or down their ladder. I guess maybe subtraction could be used with a synonymous term, sacrifice. God help us to get to the place where we don't see what we're sacrificing, but see through our sacrifice. To get to the place where we see beyond the apparent to that which can appear on the other side of the apparent. See through the sacrifice what's on the other side. I don't know. Is there anybody here today that has won someone else to Christ that's in this room? Is there anybody? What's your name, brother? Dave Fetter. I mean, you were up in Loveland, weren't you, that time? That's right. Who have you won to the Lord? Did you win her to the Lord after you were married? Before? Well, that's a way to get them, ain't it? How old were you when you got saved? How old was she when she got saved? A year ago or so. So you got saved when you were 17. And you have a couple girls, don't you, at least? A boy and a girl. Okay. Now, they're little kids who wrote me a letter the other day, aren't they? You know, I want to say this, and someone already touched on this today. I think it was Brother West. and talked about when someone does something for you, you need to write them a letter. This brother, I was in a meeting. I took up an offering for the preacher. I think it was the fifth anniversary of the preacher, so I took up an offering for him. He got about 500. I didn't do that well that Sunday. But I took about 500 for him, and I gave some money. And his daughter and son, I think, were sitting on the front row. And I had two $5 bills in my pocket, and I gave one to that kid and one to the other kid. And a few weeks went by, and I got a little letter from that boy and that girl. That carried a lot of weight with me. You know where the letter is? It's in my briefcase today. Just carried around with me. And you do stuff like that, and it'll help you. It'll help you. And Brother West already said that today. Let me get back to my story. You remember Elijah was up on... he had that wonderful spiritual victory there on Mount Carmel. And then he took off running from the bad woman there. And the Lord fed him there with ravens. Took care of him all that time. And if you look at that picture, you'd say, well, God is taking care of this prophet because he is a great and mighty man of God. That's why he's taking care of him. I think God does take care of his men. But God just wasn't taking care of Elijah. In taking care and feeding Elijah, he was also taking care of a widow woman down the road. He was also feeding a widow woman. He was also raising an orphan boy from the dead. In taking care of him there, he was taking care of someone else in the future. When God saved Brother Fetter, he wasn't just saving him. He was saving his wife. And putting together a couple that are going one day to the mission field. Where are you going? Micronesia. And little old Mikes are going to be saved someday. See beyond the sacrifice.
Amen.
See through it. Then let me give you this thought, and I'm going to quit. Oh, I want to say this about sacrifice. Sacrifice is giving up an object of affection. If you don't give up an object of affection, it's not sacrifice. It's like someone was talking earlier. You know, it's nice to preach last. You can allude to everybody else and fill in, you know, the poor spots in your lesson. They were talking about getting tea bags in the mail. Used. I mean, I'd heard about that all my life. I didn't think it was true. I thought it was just something, you know, that preachers say, because they don't always tell the truth when they're preaching. A year ago, Memorial Day, I had a Memorial Day picnic with a fellow by the name of Weaver. He's a medical doctor, and he'd been on the mission field of Africa with his parents all of his life until he came home, went to Bible college, and then went to medical school. Now he's a medical doctor in our city. And we began talking about stuff like that, and he said, you know, he said, Brother Green, he said, we used to get used tea bags in the mail. I said, oh, come on. He said, yes, we did. We'd get them quite often. He said, the worst thing about it was you had to pay duty on them. What a terrible thing. That's not a sacrifice. Give a used tea bag. Kind of like, you know that old story, don't you, about the guy who was raising, he had two cows, and he was raising the cows, you know, one for him, one for God. And he raised those things up, and one of them got struck by lightning and said, oh, God, there goes your cow. He said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Here's the addition. Take up his cross and follow me. When I subtract some things, then I need to add some things. I think that's one of the problems in our Christian homes. We've subtracted a lot, and we haven't added anything. I mean, the last time that I had a television in my home, the home that I lived in, was between my junior and senior year in high school. My father threw it out. The last time we had a television in our home, you know, today they got these controls hand controls. You can lay in bed and turn them on and off and turn them up and down. The controls that we had on that television that my dad threw out in 1966, the only hand control it had was a pair of pliers that sat on the top because the channel knob had broke, you know. And it was a black and white, and the tube was about dead. And honest to God, my brothers and I would take an old army blanket, put it up over top, put some books on it, and sit underneath that thing with the pliers, and that's how we'd watch it. We eliminated that from our home, but God help us when we take some things away to put some good things back in. He added, take up your cross and follow me. What is that, Brother Green? Added some weight to our life. The cross is heavy. Weighs. There's shame in. There's reproach. There's suffering. Just take it. Follow Him to Calvary. You take the average Baptist in America, you know, and the Lord speaks and says, take up your cross and follow me. He says, where are we going? How heavy is it? Will it wrinkle my suit? Will it inconvenience me? Will I fit in with the rest of the world as I'm pulling my cross? What's going to happen when we get to the place where we're going? And by the way, where are we going? We're going to Calvary. And we're going to die. What else do you do with a cross? But you die on it. You die. You give your life. On the cross. He said, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Follow me. He said, how can I recognize the way? Well, it's strewn with the bodies of our brethren. And it's bloody. Not easy. But it's worth it. Up your cross and follow me. Add this weight. I heard Brother Smith talk the other day somewhere. He was preaching, may have been here in January. And he said, the two greatest detriments to foreign missions are airplane tickets and telephone. There's a lot to that. It's easy to get home. It's easy to have mama call and say, how about coming home, son? You know, dad's sick and this and that. I was down to Brother Jack Woods in November at the mission conference. Maybe that was where it was. Brother Bob Hayes, a wonderful old saint of God, 35, 40 years on the mission field in Africa. Preacher great, charming. He told how his father stood at the dock and said, Bob, don't leave us. If you go, Mom and I will be dead. He turned his back, and the last words he heard from his own earthly father, Bob, you're a disobedient. You've got a boy and a girl over there, John and Sarah, now they're ministering over there in Africa. Carrying on their daddy's work. Bob told. He said, I went to two graves in Fort Lauderdale, Florida recently. Knelt over the grave of my mother and my father and said, Dad, I was not a disobedient son. I did what my father told me. Now, I don't think it's a light thing. for a parent to see their child go to the mission field? I don't think I like that. I don't think it's an easy thing for your mother and dad and the grandparents of your children to stand in an airport one day and see you wing away and they're in their 60s or 70s and know in their heart that they'll perhaps never see you or their loved ones again. I don't think it's easy. Hard thing. God help us to see through the sacrifice. See what's on the other side. I've watched my own dad. Really, to a lot of people, he appears to be quite, I want to use the right word, Lord, if I could, very content and calm. But I've seen my dad anything but content and anything but calm. And I've sat and talked to him and we're really closer now than we've ever been, I think, my father and I don't even know why. But I've heard him say, "Oh, Tim, I just can't hardly stand to think about your little sister over there in New Guinea. I just can't. It just bothers me so much." Would be a hard thing, I think, for a dad to have his only daughter somewhere like that. Take up your cross. Take the weight of the thing. Just go. I'll tell you this, I'm quick. I feel like telling you. 13 months ago, my dad and I were preaching together somewhere. He came into the room. He asked me to come to his room. I went into my dad's room. He handed me an envelope about this size, and I reached in and pulled out its contents, and inside was the ordination paper and the license to preach. My little brother Dan. Been on the mission field for 13, 14 years. His wife had been unfaithful to him. He sent his papers. Oh. My dad fell on the bed and cried. I knelt down beside him. I sat on the bed. He knelt on the floor on the bed, and I sat on the bed. And I did something, Brother Jones, I've never done in my, up until that time, 42 years on earth. I comforted my dad. I might have only done that maybe one time when his mother died. But it had been a long time. About 3 months ago, my dad called me on the phone. He said, "Tim,
guess what?"
And I said, "The Tigers won." You know, I didn't. Yeah, surprise. He said, "Danny called." I said, "He did. What did he have to say?" He said, "Tim, he's been preaching in a little Baptist church. He doesn't have a pastor. He wants his paper back." God can dig in. I can help you. You've got to see beyond the price that was paid. Dear Jesus, if there's anyone that ever existed that was worth leaving home and hearth, friends and loved ones for, it be you and only you.
God bless you, good people. I know men that have spoken in this room already today have paid a price. You heard our brother Walls talk about accident and incident after accident and incident. God help us to see through the sacrifice. See through the price we think we're having to pay. I pray you encourage these good people. I pray you bless them, help them. Your head bowed and your eyes closed. I don't know if it's appropriate for me to do what I feel like God would have me to do. But if I'm out of line, I stand corrected. Perhaps this afternoon, in the closing moments of this first day's session, maybe you'd like to come to this altar and say, here's something I want to subtract, Lord. It's nothing that preacher does. To me and you, it's been a big thing. I want to deny it myself. Maybe there's something you need to add. I want to take up.